program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 following the work of the Midnight Ravers. Stay tuned for Back of the Book. It is 5 a.m. right here in New York City, and support the station 212-209-2950 or WBAI.org. Back of the Book. One foundation, yeah.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Most probably about 5 a.m. and you're listening to All. Another WBAI veteran leaves the studio. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And you can go there. When you get there, you will see a navigation frame, a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that link, and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right. This is our 101st pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be talking about them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And, as usual, the top story of the week is... We are holding at the fantastic number of 120 followers on Twitter, and the whole world is just aghast. The next meeting of the WBAI local station board will be held on this Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022, but it will be an executive session, so you won't be able to hear what's going on, probably. The next regular local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, August 10th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 575,956,041 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,397,961. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 91,247,550, and the death toll in America was 1,029,856. So, 3,133 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. That's a bit higher than the previous weekly average. And, of course, the weekly averages are higher than the weekly averages had been just a month or two ago. The pandemic is not over, even though a lot of people are behaving as if it were. President Biden has recovered from having COVID-19, and he credits his four vaccinations and Paxlovid, which any American can get, unlike what happened to number 45 when he got it, and he got super special stuff that other people couldn't possibly get. What would have happened if he hadn't come through that? It would have been interesting. There very likely would not have been a January 6th insurrection. And I bet you some people in a Republican Party would have been very glad if he had taken that way out. The CDC has announced that in September, those of us who are especially vulnerable to the virus will be offered what amounts to a third booster shot that is also supposed to be hardened against the BA5 variant, which is just insanely infectious. I'm sure that Pickles of the North and I will get ours as soon as we can.
Yes, we will, Artball. I'll tell you one thing we won't be doing, though. We won't be going to the New York City government website and finding out what the up-to-date COVID numbers are for the city right now. Because due to technical difficulties, they only have statistics up to July 25th. And there is still no alert chart. They're still working on that. I don't know how many weeks this will take. I suspect that City Hall is hoping that COVID will just run through here, and then as the numbers start going down, they'll come up with the alert system. I could be wrong about that, but using the old statistics, which are, again, a few days old now, the neighborhood that has the lowest statistics for COVID in a neighborhood in New York City right now is Mott Haven / Port Morris in the Bronx. And their rate of COVID there is 4.98%. That's really good. That's very low. It's not a high transmission rate at all. The place with the highest transmission rate is Belrose in Queens, 30.41%.
Oh.
That's a lot. Unfortunately, these numbers are probably not correct in and of themselves because so many people are taking COVID tests at home and then not reporting the results that it's hard to gather the statistic now. According to the CDC, New York City still has a high rate of transmission, and that's the highest rate they have, high. So it's very hard to know what to do now when people are acting as if the pandemic is over. And the government, the local government, is kind of backing up that attitude.
Yeah, for political reasons. And, geez, I think I remember that, like, two and a half years ago, I think they were saying, yes, it's a problem if there's a rate of infection of like 2.5% or 3.5%. I think that was, you know, oh, that's high some 2.5 years ago. And now, you know, we're okay with significantly higher than that. So it shows how relative this stuff is and how we adapt. We are adapting to a pandemic is what's happening. And we're saying, yeah, this kind of thing is a part of what we do.
The worst part is that, yes, we have many ways to protect ourselves from COVID now, aside from masks and distancing. We have vaccines, we have boosters, we have Paxlovid. The thing you cannot protect yourself from is whether or not you're going to get long COVID if you contract COVID. And that can be with you for the rest of your life, possibly. We don't know. So, yes, we're adapting, but
we're adapting to getting sick and dying, I guess.
I guess.
And by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will, of course, be higher. And this entire thing was mostly preventable. I will note that there are two new studies out that show that, yeah, the disease came from Wuhan. It came from the market, not from some people trying to put together a deadly mixture to weaponize, which some people have been really harping on. And, you know, you got to be careful about some things. I mean, people who really like to be political latch on to something and never let go. Well, that's not the scientific way. The scientific way is you say, well, maybe it's this way. But if the evidence points in a different direction, you got to change your mind and say, well, the evidence is pointing to that. So it looks like that's how it works. So, yeah, there are still various people who are saying, oh, and the, well, variously, the Chinese have this laboratory that they leaked it out of. And, oh, or maybe they were doing it on purpose. Some people around, oh, some radio stations and other places I know are also saying, oh, but the CIA was involved in it. You know, yes, the CIA runs things in China. There was the CIA was running things and is responsible for doing it in China. Yeah, I'm going to go with it came out of the market, which is how a lot of this kind of thing works. It looks like Ebola. Ebola is, you know, something that shows up now and again, and it just comes out of some animal vector that, you know, shows up and people get it. And then people start spreading it to each other. And this is a well-known way for viruses and other diseases to spread and has been since long before people got to realize there was such a thing as a germ theory of disease.
And when you have epidemiologists talking to one another, as most of them in the world do, you find out when there are outbreaks, what people can do to help to treat people, what people can do to contain the outbreak. Because there are a lot of outbreaks happening right now in the world. Ebola is one of them. Polio is another. And I don't mean the one that's happening right here in New York State. So when you let scientists talk to one another and share information, they work really hard together to put a lid on keeping something from becoming epidemic. And if they can't stop that, then keeping it from becoming pandemic. So you have COVID coming out of a place where there's a dictatorship, local governments lie about things, and information was sat upon until some brave people decided to let it out into the world. But by then, it had already spread, and you had a completely incompetent government here in the United States that had a non-response to this and wouldn't let their own scientists do what they needed to do. So that's the blame that I can see.
So some controversy has sprung up over the past week or so, and it's about Nancy Pelosi paying a visit to Taiwan. And the deal is that the so-called People's Republic of China, through President Xi, is he called a president or do they just acknowledge tyrant? Has said, oh, this will be a big deal if she comes here. It's, you know, there will be retaliation. Well, I think that means she has to go, because otherwise you're letting people say, oh, we're scary. You better not bother us. You better not do what we don't want you to do. That's just bullying. And if we give in to that, you know, it's not so good. It's very bad when you let a bully do what he wants and bully you around. Now, by about the middle of this century, say the year 2050, 2060, China will probably be in a very good position to kind of take the position the United States of America has held for the past 80 or 90 years and be the big power in the world. But they ain't there yet. and you don't just hand them stuff on a platter. So, yeah, I think that she should go there. And there have been all sorts of conjectures. In New York Times, they were talking about, geez, what could China do, you know? Or they might go after some of the tiny islands, border islands that are part of Taiwan, and try to take them over. And then what do we do? Do we, you know, it's like just totally symbolic real estate. Do we help go to war against China over that? Do we? What do we do about that? Or one thing that was brought up is they could try to provoke things by, you know, they know, they'll know when Pelosi's coming in. She's going to be coming in a government plane, not Air Force One, but that kind of aircraft. And they'll be able to see it, and they might send out their fighter jets to escort her in, which would involve them going over Taiwanese airspace and all of that, and which would also have them with their fighter planes right next to this American aircraft. And I think that would be a big provocation. So maybe what we need to do is make sure we have a couple of aircraft carriers in the area, and they can escort her in. And if anybody wants to come up and play, I think they should play. You know, if there has to be a war, let's have a war and not have this thing of where we're backed down and put in a corner where we can't really hit back anymore. And I don't think they'll go to war. I don't think they'll try that. They're not stupid. They are, unfortunately, imperialistic. You know, I know a lot of leftoids say, America is imperialist. Well, look at Russia and China and talk to us about how you don't support imperialism. Duh. And so, yeah, I think she should go. And whatever will happen will happen. And again, I think it will be mostly a lot of bluster and complaining and maybe, you know, some symbolic thing or another, and that's it. But we can't go backing down because some guy says, oh, we won't like that. You know, bleep you, you don't like that. And the January 6th committee hearings are on vacation until September. And, of course, we know from the past number of weeks that the Secret Service deleted their messages so no one could see what they were saying on January 5th and 6th, 2021. Again, I suspect that what happened was that at least some of the Secret Service people were involved with Trump in trying to stop the counting of the ballots on January 6th. And I suspect that Pence got word of this somehow, and that's why he refused to even just sit in that car. They got him down into the parking lot under the Capitol, and he was supposed to be safe. And they said, oh, why don't you sit in the car there, you know, and all. He said, no, I don't think so. And he said outright, he didn't know that the guy driving might not drive him out of the Capitol, which then starts bringing up a thing of votes weren't counted when they were supposed to be, therefore there was no election. At which point, maybe shooting needs to start happening, but that didn't happen, and that's a good thing. So we know that the Secret Service erased the evidence. And now, this week, we hear that messages sent by Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf and Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli were scrubbed in a, quote, phone reset, unquote, that went ahead in the weeks after the attack, despite the obvious need to preserve records related to the attack. And the Washington Post was reporting on this not long before we recorded this on Friday. So, good grief. More to come on that, I suppose, but the corruption of the appointees of Trump is just so amazing here. And, of course, the Secret Service isn't appointed, but I think they kind of got into a Stockholm syndrome, some of them, and are with Trump. Yeah, maybe some people in the Secret Service need to lose their jobs right away, and maybe they need to be investigated by the Department of Justice, and maybe some of them need to go away. We're also finding out that the lawyers who were helping Trump as he was trying to steal the 2020 election after Biden had won it, they were themselves referring to the slates they wanted to substitute as, quote, fake electors, unquote. Wowee! Jeez, we would all know that that's true, that they were fake, because you have the people who were elected, they know who they are. And, you know, this is a part of how it's supposed to work for democracy, where it's transparent and a certain number of votes come in, and this complicated thing we have of the Electoral College, where it goes to these people, and what you end up really electing are the electors from each state. And so that's the way it's supposed to go, but they didn't like that, because in some states that they thought they ought to have won, they lost. And in a lot of those states, it's winner take all, and they were just so displeased. And so they were trying to do, you know, make these fake electors. And the thing is, you would think that they would believe in what they were doing, but they weren't. This was a totally cynical operation where the various people involved, Trump's lawyers and other supporters, they knew that Biden had won the election, had Trump had lost the election, and now we see that in back and forth, they're referring to them as fake, until one of the lawyers said, oh, you know, it could be a liability problem here. Maybe we shouldn't refer to them as fakes anymore, because we could get in trouble for that. Bright lawyers. But yes, they knew they were faked. It was totally cynical. And what a horror story it would be if these people had been able to take over. This really proves beyond any reasonable doubt that this was a coup, and they knew it was a coup, and they went ahead with it. They tried it. These people need to go to prison. Trump needs to be in prison. I don't give a rat's zinger that, oh, he's the former president, and it might not look nice in history to have a former president of the United States behind bars or wearing handcuffs or wearing an orange jumpsuit in court, but that's what needs to be done. And I really hope that we do that and that people don't back down from this, because it's too goddamned important. There's been an amusing bit of information coming out of the January 6th committee. They have a little video, and it shows that Hawley, Josh Hawley character in Congress. He's out there in the plaza of the Capitol, and all of these insurrectionists are out there, and he's giving a raised fist endorsement to the insurrectionists. They got a picture of him doing it. Yeah, yeah, you do it, you do it. And of course, he's one of the people who is a part of trying to nullify the 2020 election. And yeah, you go to it. And then the January 6th committee shows video of Hawley running from the mob he was, inciting out there. And once they get in the building, he's running like crazy over there inside the Capitol building. And there's a video made by some people in the Democratic Party, and it's called Haulin' Hawley. And they make rather a bit of fun of Congress Critter Hawley. And yeah, that's good. I'm glad. And he's going around making excuses and things, but really, what a hypocritical creep. We've gotten some sad news here in the past few days. We find that on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, Larry Josephson, who used to do radio here, who used to be management here at WBAI, he died this past Wednesday at the age of 83. And his daughter writes, quote, Larry had been suffering from the effects of Parkinson's disease and was increasingly a prisoner in his own body, unquote. And yeah, I remember Larry Josephson. I was here after, you know, like Josephson and these other guys from the old days had been doing all sorts of stuff. But I was here when Josephson was here late. I got here in 1981, at BAI in 1981. So they weren't the guys they used to be. And people like Steve Post had left the station to go do other radio elsewhere. And Josephson had done stuff at other places. And Josephson had started up a sort of audio thing going on. With people who did audio for radio and all of that. So he had this big professional thing going on, but he was still coming to BAI and doing a program here and there, sometimes regularly, sometimes spotting in here and there, because he did have this group that produced radio, and they did good radio. They, you know, with a bunch of radio professionals who would do stuff, and it would be stuff that wouldn't generally go on to mainstream media, and he would bring that to BAI. So Larry Josephson was good at radio. Not always. None of us are 100%. But he was mostly good at radio. He was not always a nice guy. I remember one time, there was one producer who had a music show on Sunday mornings. And some of us would be in the station, having been in the station since Friday night, enjoying things, in some cases enjoying each other. I didn't get to do that second part. So we would be around, and Josephson had a program that started sometime in the wee hours of Sunday morning, and then it went on to another program, and I won't say whose it was, and this other guy did a music program, and Larry would chronically go over in an arrogant way. None of this, "Oh, I'm sorry, I just need a few minutes," this kind of thing you get sometimes from people who just can't plan out the program. Josephson could plan out a program. And he was just, "No, I'm keeping on going. Stay out of master control." So he would, like, grab the time. And this producer, who was a good producer, he quit. He wasn't going to put up with this anymore. And, you know, so, yeah, Larry was, he was good at radio. And he was pals with some people, not pals with other people. I didn't have much to do with him, but he could do good radio, and he could be not a nice guy, and that's just the way it worked. So there you are. In another announcement of this past week, on Thursday, Tony Dow, who co-starred as the older brother Wally Cleaver on the 50s into 60s TV program Leave It to Beaver, died this week. He was 77 years old. So I remember I used to watch that show. It was Leave It to Beaver. These days, I don't think you could name a program that, because when it came out, I had no idea there could be a double entendre with that. In fact, I didn't know there could be a double entendre in that until I was in my late 30s. I didn't pay attention to certain things at certain times. But anyway, Jerry Mathers played the Beav, and he was Theodore Cleaver, and they called him Beaver. I don't know why. Maybe somebody said originally it would be a kid who had two big front teeth, but Jerry didn't have really that. I mean, all little kids, their incisors, their front top incisors usually come in first. So it's not unusual. Anyway, so Tony Dow, who starred as the older brother, he's passed away this past week. And he had announced in May that he was battling cancer. And after Leave It to Beaver, he had other acting jobs for TV and stuff for years and years, and off TV. He was also a director. He directed TV shows. He directed all sorts of things. I've heard that he was also a sculptor. And so he was an artist outside of electronic media. So he was an all-around guy doing things. And unfortunately, he got cancer and he's passed away. But somebody else, some of we old folks remember from our youth, has passed away here. And yeah, I remember that so well. And of course, those of us whom he's only a little bit older than say, oh boy, you know, our mortality is absolutely being rubbed in our noses here. And there you go. But yes, we'll miss all of these people who have passed away. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. The Russian invasion of Ukraine continues, and the Ukrainians have been shooting up a bridge that the Russians need to supply their invasion troops. The Ukrainians are using those HIMARS rockets to blow up parts of the bridge, big holes in this bridge. They didn't knock it down, but it's not exactly usable in its current condition. And under the circumstances, you don't want to have to send out a whole bunch of guys onto the bridge to kind of fix it up again, because they're going to shoot at them. So, oh yeah, Russia's got a little problem there. And so they're having a problem supplying some of the troops in the south, which looks like it's going to be quite a battle down there, because the Ukrainians are trying to go in there and push them out, and the Russians are trying to get the last of the Donbass region. So you got different parts of it shooting at each other, and it looks like the Russians or their proxies have bombed a prisoner of war camp. 53 Ukrainian prisoners of war were killed, and another 75 were wounded. The Russians claim that the Ukrainians bombed it. But the actions and claims sound like the usual Russian propaganda that we've heard from the Russians for a very long time. You know, if you're just constantly lying, you set up a pattern. Even if you're skilled at it, if you just do it so much over such a long time, there's a pattern and people can see it. And so the Ukrainians say that the Russians bombed it to kill off their people. And this is another war crime. And the Russians are saying, oh no, the Ukrainians bombed it to keep them from telling us their secrets. Yeah, that's very plausible. And so, so we have this going on now. But here's a fact. When you have prisoners of war, under the Geneva Convention, you have to immediately put them into a distant rear area that is not involved in combat. And that's not where this little prisoner of war place was. It was in a place that's contested. And so, yeah, either way you want to look at it, the Russians are responsible for murdering these guys. And murdering prisoners of war isn't something new for Russia. The Soviet Union murdered thousands of Polish officers in, what was it, 1939-40 at Kitien. It was a forest. And when the Soviet Union and their ally, the Third Reich, co-invaded Poland, the Soviet Union decided, hey, a lot of Polish guys here. Let's get the officers, bring them out to this forest, murder them, and that'll be it. And they, I guess they thought nobody would ever find them because the Russians would take over Poland and that would be it. They'd just leave them there to rot. They would never be discovered. But then the alliance between the Soviet Union and Third Reich fell apart, and the Nazis gleefully showed what happened at Katyn while the commies were in charge. And so we have that sort of thing from Russia. And yeah, they've got a bad history of mistreating their prisoners of war. Russia is also in the news because they have announced that they're pulling out of the International Space Station. The Russian entity that takes care of space stuff is called Roscosmos. Roscosmos, in retaliation for a lot of sanctions against Russia for invading a peaceful country, Roscosmos is cutting ties with European Space Agency projects. And the European Space Agency is now exploring options to team up with other nations and agencies to finish a Mars mission. There's a rover, which is named Rosalind Franklin, and it's technically ready for launch, European Space Agency says, but they reported that the thing is not going to launch, and so there's something else going on. They're going to pull out of the International Space Station. Exactly how that's going to work, nobody knows, because the parts are different parts, and one of the big parts the United States of America bought from Russia. How that's going to work is something nobody's got a really great handle on yet, but there we go. The war that they started against Ukraine is having even more repercussions. So there was a lot of press this past week, even national press, about this guy, this bishop. He's a self-proclaimed bishop, apparently. Lamore Whitehead. And, oh, he's a bishop. I don't know what church he's a bishop of. Maybe a church that he invented. Some people just call themselves Reverend something. People say, hey, people get to do whatever they want with their religion. So you can say, I'm a Reverend. So this guy, Lamore Whitehead, who calls himself a bishop, he got a huge amount of press because he was robbed of a huge amount of jewelry while he was preaching in Brooklyn this past Sunday. His performance was being videoed, and these guys with guns suddenly show up, and they make him get on the ground, and they hold guns on him. He says they were holding a gun on his wife and on his daughter. So they come in, they put him on the ground, and they start taking his jewelry. Now, this guy's got a huge amount of jewelry. He's got this necklace around himself, just all gold. He's got this big deal gold cross on a gold chain. He's got various kinds of diamond and gold rings. He's just loaded with all of what people refer to these days as bling. And some people are calling him the bling bling bishop. And so they just steal all of this. And his wife had a bunch, too. I guess she didn't want to be too outdone by him. And so they stole her jewelry. And initially it was reported it was $400,000 worth of jewelry. Then after a couple of days, he said, it's $1 million of jewelry that was stolen. Jeez, so the bishop has $1 million of jewelry that he hangs around with. And the guys took off in a BMW, so maybe they had money in the first place. He did not pursue them in his Rolls Royce. In the medieval times, bishops were princes of the church, and they would be wealthy. I guess he figures that he's going to emulate the old Catholic Church of medieval times and be as wealthy as he can get. So he's been getting a lot of publicity on this, and people saying, really, you're going to be preaching to people and you're carrying around all of this jewelry? What kind of an example does that set? Well, some people still will follow a guy like that. And one of them regrets it. A woman who has filed a lawsuit in Brooklyn Supreme Court last September said that he promised that if she gave him money, he would use her cash to renovate a house for her. But he never followed through on doing that. What he did, eventually, after she pestered him a lot, was he told her he couldn't repay her $90,000 life savings, which she'd given to him in good faith. The self-proclaimed bishop said that the money that the woman gave him was not as an investment, but a campaign contribution, because he was running for Brooklyn Borough President last year, and he says, oh, this is a campaign contribution. I wonder if he has managed to finagle enough with a lawyer so that he can get away with that, because there are laws about what you can do with your campaign contributions and how money can be handled. So she's in court with him now, and she had $90,000 in life savings and handed it to the guy to renovate a house for her, and now he says, you ain't getting the money back.
What was the con he actually ended up in prison for?
Oh, he actually went to prison for identity theft. His latest thing, which we saw just before we started recording, was he now wants to be able to carry a gun. And his brief is that all people who claim to be sky pilots of some sort, all preachers of any sort, should be able to carry a gun at all times, even though they might be felons. Oh, man. And this guy is a pal of Mayor Adams. Mayor Adams has this whole rogues gallery of pals, doesn't he? But yeah, so the latest thing is this guy wants to be able to carry a gun. I guess he'll be able to get these donations from parishioners a lot more easily if he does that. Oh, it's the pitching train. The pitching train is pulling into the radio station. Oh, it's here. The pitching train is here in the radio station. That means we gotta beg you for money. This is WBAI New York. Listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio. And a part of what that means is we aren't running commercials. We are asking you to support us. Yes, and right now we have to pitch the Tower Fund. And the Tower Fund is the money we have to pay rent for at 4 Times Square, where our transmitter is, and we use their antenna to broadcast. If we don't get to use that stuff, you don't hear us at all. So, yes, we need to do this. And, in fact, the general manager this past week wrote, quote, the Tower Fund drive ends this Sunday, July 31st, 2022, and we will not have another one until December, January. Woohoo! Of course, we enjoy pitching. He continues, I need you to push hard the next couple of days. You should pitch it for 12 to 15 minutes non-stop. I think that's supposed to be non-stop. We need to raise the fund or we will be 3 months behind for the tower rent, and that is when the problem begins, unquote. That's the deal. At 3 months, they could turn a switch and we're off the air. So this is like bad news, folks. We need you to help us out. How do you help us out? You call 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at 1-212-209-2950. And when the person picks up, say, I want to make a donation to the WBAI Tower Fund in the name of Back of the Book. That's 1-212-209-2950. And if you do that, it will help us out. One, it will help to keep this radio station on the air. Two, it will tell management that we do have listeners and that we have listeners who were willing to donate to the radio station. So hop on your bicycle and get over here to your telephone and call them up at 1-212-209-2950. And you tell them, hey, I want to donate. Now, you can donate pretty much any amount of money. I think it has to be at least $5, but really, if you want to donate $25, you will become a member of WBAI and Pacifica. And the next time we have anything to vote on, you will be able to vote on it. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call. And we want to again thank Tony for donating on a recent pitch we made here. And Tony has helped us out and has shown that we do have listeners, because management is telling us that the Nielsen's show that we have 0.0 listeners with a 0.0 share, which means you aren't there, dear listener. Well, we need to show them that you are there. I mean, management is using this kind of stuff, and they're going to be moving stuff around and throwing people off the air. And we don't want to be thrown off the air. I think we have more listeners than some radio programs on this station do. So we need you to call 1-212-209-2950 and say, yeah, I want to support WBAI and Back of the Book, and I want to show WBAI management that Back of the Book has listeners. So please give us a call at 1-212-209-2950. Now, we talk about all sorts of things. This program, initially Freeform Live Radio, of course, for the past 101 programs, we have not been live because of the pandemic, and we're still locked out of all of this, and we're not too unhappy about that, because we still think it's dangerous out there. Yeah, we're both of an age when, you know, the COVID-19 could really hurt us. 1-212-209-2950. And you hear us talking about all sorts of things. We talk about scientific topics. We have explained, I think pretty decently, why the BA5 variant and the previous BA subvariants of Omicron are so super duper infectious. We've also explained the difference between contagious and infectious, which is very important in this particular disease. And on the mainstream media, they don't talk about that. They say contagious all the time when they should be saying infectious. Well, we explain the difference. I suppose on those TV shows, they don't know the difference. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now and say, yes, I want to support accurate information that comes out and using the proper words for what this stuff is. And I can do that by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, I want to support Back of the Book and contribute to the Tower Fund so that WBAI doesn't get shut off the air. 1-212-209-2950. We need to have some people calling that number. Now, I can't tell if you're calling right now because we are not there. This has to be pre-recorded. We cannot go in. The Saturday morning programs, really, we're not supposed to go in at all. 1-212-209-2950. And we're not displeased with that, as I said. Call the number. Please give the number a call and tell them you want to support WBAI and the Tower Fund and you want to keep Back of the Book on. Be sure to mention Back of the Book so that, you know, we get the credit for it. Credit is important. And, you know, we do all sorts of things. We talk about the diseases, the things like COVID-19, and we talk about them realistically. Now, I know there are some people who are big anti-vaxxers, and that sort of thing gets some play on this radio station. Well, we counter that because that's disinformation in a lot of cases. And so we counter the disinformation that you hear on some other programs. And I think that's a good thing. Of course, if nobody supports us, and if the real diehard vaxxers do support those diehard anti-vaxxers, do support other programs, well, we'll disappear, and all you'll have will be anti-vaxxer cuckoos telling their disinformation on the air. We also talk about many other things. We talk about space subjects all the time. And we talk about black holes and what they mean and what they are. And the fastest star that we know about in the galaxy. Yeah, it goes around the central black hole of this galaxy in only 4.5 years. That's a hell of a fast moving object. In fact, it's moving so fast that it's moving at about 3% the speed of light, which means that there are relativistic effects on that star. And one wonders if it could have inhabited planets around it. I don't know. That might be a very deadly environment, but gee whiz, who knows? 1-212-209-2950. So we talk about the various science things. We talk about the politics. We talk about things that some people at WBAI are frightened to talk about. And we talk about them anyway and say, yeah, that's what's going on, folks. And so we do that. 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, if you appreciate the stuff we do, please support us. Help to keep this radio program on WBAI and help to keep WBAI on the air. Also, this is an overnight program. I know it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and at this point in time, the sun is probably up. I can't help it. They moved us here. And, you know, the deal is we're still counting as an overnight program. And there are people who say, hey, get rid of the overnight programs from midnight to 6 a.m. Either shut the station down entirely or pipe in other radio stations. Now, there are other radio stations in Pacifica who would like to have 6 hours of their air pumped out into New York City. And they are, some of them, I think, lobbying for that. There are other people who would like to have the daytime programs on WBAI simply rebroadcast in the midnight to 6 a.m. time slot. So that would wipe out the overnights. That would wipe out the overnights. And so, yes, this is something else that makes it important for you to donate and call 1-212-209-2950. The late Robert Knight, speaking of another BAI person who died some while back, he used to refer to the overnight programs as the rainforest of WBAI. Yeah, it can be a bit messy, but that's where a lot of oxygen gets generated and a lot of people develop things in the overnights. And it's stuff you can't do on those daytime programs that are so buttoned down. 1-212-209-2950. Please contribute. Call that number now and say you want to contribute to WBAI's Tower Fund. And you will be telling management there are listeners and there are listeners who are willing to donate at this hour of the morning. 1-212-209-2950. Now, there is the fact also that some of you listen on the, archive. You listen on the archive. Well, on the archive, you can go and contribute, and you can mark it as being for back of the book. You gotta look at how to do that, though. You have to click a few things, but if you do that, make sure you show that it's to back of the book, all right? And we need you to call 1-212-209-2950 and contribute to the WBAI Tower Fund so we don't all get taken off the air, which could happen if 4 Times Square gets 3 months in arrears. They push a button. That's it. We're off the air. And we're, you know, no antenna, no transmitter. That's it. That could happen. So the only way to avoid that is to have you get up. Go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to contribute to the WBAI Tower Fund. We need to hear from you, folks. They need to hear from you. We can't hear from you because we're sitting in our living room on a typing table with a little recorder. So we aren't going to hear anything. But what you can do is write to me, rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com. And write and say you donated. And if you want to, you can say for how much. But you don't have to. But just if you donate, it would be good if you wrote to us and said, I donated to the back of the book, and say when you did it. And yeah, it would be useful if you said how much you did. And that way, if management says, again, there are no listeners, we can say, look at this. Look, hey, they donated even. So 1-212-209-2950. You want to preserve overnight programming, you want to preserve this type of stuff that we're doing here, yeah, you can do that by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying you want to support the WBAI Tower Fund. 1-212-209-2950. We really do need to hear from you right about now. This would be it. We're coming up to the end of this, and this is the end of the Tower Fund. We're not pitching the Tower Fund anymore. As the general manager says in this little email he sent to the staff, that's it. We're not going to have another Tower Fund pitch till December/January. That doesn't mean there won't be any pitching, but we won't be pitching the Tower Fund. Of course, the deal is if we don't raise enough money, they'll cut us off. So I don't know how that's going to work. It's the general manager saying that. 1-212-209-2950. We need to hear from you now. Show's just about over. If you call in after the show, we don't get credit for it, although that will help BAI. The money will help us to stay on the air. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. That's been it for Back of the Book. We should be back here next week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
It's going to be another heat wave coming up. Try to survive that. I know Pickles doesn't like these things. Try to remain comfortable, but enjoy the bright sunlight if you can. And above all, remember what that hoping the International Space Station doesn't fall apart Dormouse said.
Get set for an intense drama this week on WBAI Playhouse, Arthur Miller's After the Fall. It's a memory play where Miller reflects on his life through Quentin, a troubled lawyer.
Look at my life.
There's the McCarthy hearings.
There is only one truth here, that you are terrified and they have bought your soul.
And yours, Lou? Is it all yours? Your soul?
And there's Miller's reflection on troubled relationships, which leads to his meetup with Marilyn Monroe.
You notice I have no broken hair. Most women's hair is broken. Here, feel it. Give me your hand. Feel how... Oh, excuse me.
That's all right.
I just thought you might want to feel it.
Sure. One thing struck me. She wasn't defending anything, upholding anything, or accusing. She was just there. Like a tree or a cat. And I felt strangely abstract beside her. And I saw that we are killing one another with abstractions.
That's Anthony LaPaglia and Amy Brenneman in Arthur Miller's After the Fall. WBAI Playhouse, Saturday, 8 p.m. on listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan. On WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Brian Kemp with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
I've
believe that we have got to mobilize a larger movement to reclaim the democracy.
Radio broadcaster Bob Law.
Some of y'all have underestimated the value and the appeal of white supremacy. And you have no idea how strong white privilege and white supremacy is.
Tune in to From the Streets with Bob Law, which gives voice to a wide range of black and progressive political and cultural perspectives. That's 11 to noon Saturdays here over listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
This is Wayne Kramer from the MC5. Nobody kicks out the jams like WBAI.